This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The Nizams of Hyderabad, the Nawabs of Hyderabad, all of you should, Indians are aware of the Nawab of Hyderabad. The Nawabs of Hyderabad, they go back to the time of Aurangzeb. Aurangzeb was the one who instituted the first governorship of that region. And as is the case, that person became very powerful and he started a mini dynasty under the Mughals. He didn't break away. He was under the Mughals, but essentially he's a king in his own way. He doesn't call himself king. So the Nawabs of Hyderabad, they go back to 1700s. And they had an area of land that was larger than all of England, all of Italy. They had a massive province in India. And this province eventually became the richest province of India and one of the richest regions of the entire world. Our story begins with the seventh Nizam of Hyderabad, the grandfather of the one who passed away. The seventh Nizam was the most famous one and the richest one. And his name is Mir Usman Ali. Mir Usman Ali, he came to power in 1911, roughly 100 years ago. Hyderabad was already wealthy. Mir Usman Ali made Hyderabad one of the wealthiest regions of the world. And in the process, he became the wealthiest person alive at the time and one of the wealthiest people in all of human history. It is said that he is in the top five people in all of human history in terms of wealth. And when he was alive, he was number one in the entire world. This is Mir Usman Ali, the grandfather of the one who passed away. And one of the reasons for this wealth was because he increased the production of diamonds from a particular region. I can't remember it right now. Golconda, something that I forgot where it is. You guys know. Is that right? Golconda? Yeah. So he banked on, pun intended, this region. He increased the production of diamonds, and for a period of time, it became the number one diamond manufacturing plant in the world. And in fact, he had a paperweight that was composed of a diamond that was itself worth like $50 million, dollars. He would have it as a paperweight. That's how wealthy this person was. When Queen Elizabeth, the one that passed away, when Queen Elizabeth got married, this Nawab gifted her a custom-made necklace. This was the necklace you would always see her wearing in any public occasion. If you see any picture of Queen Elizabeth, there's this beautiful diamond necklace. That necklace was made by this Nawab of Hyderabad and gifted to the Queen. And the Queen loved it so much. It was the most expensive. It is the most expensive. She wore it on every official occasion. You will find it that's gifted by that Nawab. In 1937, Time magazine, which used to be far more prestigious than it is now. Oh, young people, understand, Time magazine once upon a time was extremely prestigious. And these days, it's nobody cares as much. He's frank here. But Time magazine put Mir Usman Ali on the cover of the magazine. This is 1937. And it had the title, The Richest Man Alive. The Richest Man in the World. This was Mir Usman Ali. We estimate, we would never know for sure, we estimate he was worth more than $250 billion. Wealthier than Bill Gates and, Steve, anybody that you know. For the time, he had the equivalent in our times of $250 billion. And he had multiple palaces, multiple Rolls Royces, even though ironically he himself dressed very frugally. And he would eat very simple on one plate. So in his very personal life, he was very frugal, but he had a show of wealth, and he did help his people, and his people loved him. He introduced electricity. He made for himself a number of universities. The Usmania College, he built it in Hyderabad. He was a lover of Urdu, Sher Shairi. He introduced free education in the 1920s and 30s. Mandatory free education upon all of the children. And he even produced an English Journal of Islamic Studies, the first of its type. An English International Journal of Islamic Studies, and he called what he thought was the premier intellectual alive today who spoke English, you all know his name, Marmaduke Pickthall. And he called him to Hyderabad, and he financed him. Once upon a time, they respected ulama and du'at. Anyway, just a joke here. And he financed him and said, khalas, do what you want. And so for 15 years, Marmaduke Pickthall, the British guy, lived in India. And guess what project he did, financed by the Nawab, Marmaduke Pickthall? translation of the Quran for the first time in the English language, sponsored by. And that's why he thanks the Nawab. If you read the introduction, if you go back to that book that we used to read back in the 80s and 90s, nobody reads that translation anymore. He actually thanks the Nawab for his sponsorship, for helping him out here. And the Nawab was so powerful that he actually had his own currency. He did not use the British Raj currency. The British Raj gave him semi-autonomous powers. Like he wasn't under the Raj. He was semi-independent. He had his own independent army. The only state under the Raj that has its own army. So definitely this person was a very, very interesting person.
فَيَا ذُلِّي وَيَا خَجَلِي إِذَا مَا قَالَ لِي رَبِّي أَمَا اسْتَحْيَيْتَهُ تَعْصِينِي وَلَا تَخْشَى مِنَ الْعَتَبِ وَتُخْفِي الذَّنْبَ عَنْ خَلْقِي وَتَأْبَى فِي الْهَوَى قُرْبِي فَتُبْ مِمَّا جَنَيْتَ عَسَى تَعُودُ إِلَى رِضَى الرَّبِّي تَعُودُ إِلَى رِضَى الرَّبِّي